paid the cost to be the boss. Paid the cost to be the boss.
And we are back. It's week 9 of the NFL season. It's the Nickel powered by Pro Football Focus and brought to you by DraftKings.com. I'm your host, Jeff Ratcliffe. We're almost there. You know, it's bittersweet because as awesome as the NFL season is, you know, we're already making the turn for home. There's less regular season, well, close to less regular season. After this week, less regular season left than we've already played. But there's still plenty of football ahead of us and lots going on. Lots going on at Pro Football Focus, by the way. Make sure you're checking the site out. There's just so much in terms of tools, in terms of information, of course, great podcasts, but you already know that if you're listening to this. And by the way, but let me just tell you, the support that people are giving me on Twitter and Facebook, etc., thank you. Sincerely, thank you. A lot of times I really just think it's just me sitting here screaming into the void talking to myself, but I really appreciate it. I do. You know, it's just awesome, the great feedback that I've been receiving. So thank you. Thank you so much for listening. But back to the stuff at the site. Check it all out. Please go check it out. And if you're not a subscriber, well, hey, what are you waiting for? It's only $29.99. It still gets you the rest of the season, including the playoffs. And maybe you get in on some playoff fantasy football. It's a way to make the playoffs a little bit more interesting. And there's all kinds of cool formats. I'm in salary caps. I'm in leagues where you draft. And hey, there's you can never have enough fantasy, right? And of course, there's daily in the playoffs. You know, play some DFS in the playoffs and continue to roll there. So definitely check it all out and get yourself a subscription if you don't already have one. But let's get into the show for this week. So we're obviously talking on the defensive side of the football, of course, underappreciated, but a dynamic that makes playing fantasy football so much more interesting when you add those defensive players. And remember, I'm really vocal about this. I don't care what kind of fantasy football you play. There are people out there who, oh, only IDP. Well, hey, you know what? Just play fantasy football. I don't care what you play. I don't care if it's a punter-only league. Play fantasy football. You don't want to play IDP, that's fine with me. The knocking of the team defense stuff just drives me nuts because team defense is a lot more nuanced than people realize, and I think it's an awesome fantasy position. So there's room for all types of leagues out there, and that's the beauty to fantasy football as a whole. But of course, if you're in on IDP, you're in on a bit of a secret. IDP is really such a interesting dimension to playing fantasy football because not only do you have to know a completely different set of information, a whole new universe of players, but it also benefits what you do on the offensive side of the ball. You get a better sense of what matchups you can really take advantage of. You really, you know, start to pay attention. And hey, it makes the game more fun to watch. You know, there are certain plays, you know, especially, boy, oh boy, that was a fun game on Monday, not only because of the rain against the Carolina Panthers against the Colts there. The rain made it interesting, but there was some standout defensive play from the Carolina Panthers in that game. We'll get to this in a couple minutes for fantasy purposes, but just for football purposes. Josh Norman is having an unbelievable season. And there was that one target there, I think it was to T.Y. Hilton, where Andrew Luck, you know, was a deep ball. And Norman completely lays out, you know, extends his body to defend that pass. A play that, I mean, how many people could actually make that in the NFL? I mean, yeah, maybe, you know, 1 out of 100 times the average defensive back makes that play. But Norman makes it 99 out of 100 times. That's how good he's playing right now. And there's another play there. Luke Kuechly had a pass defense where one of our PFF analysts pointed it out. He broke on the ball without even reading the quarterback. He read the receiver, saw, I don't know what he saw, but he breaks on the receiver, lays out, and makes the pass defense. I mean, wow. Like, wow. And you know, other stuff too, of course, the great stuff that our PFF analysts do. But enough about that. You get the nuance aspect. But we're going to do like we do every week and just sort of roll through these teams. Some teams I don't really have much to say about here. We're in the fat trimming time on the offensive side of the ball. So getting rid of, you know, great tip. If you look at your roster and you say, you know, I'll probably never start this guy, then what's he doing on your roster, right? You want to get rid of those players and grab guys like Thomas Rawls, Carlos Williams, and sure, maybe they're owned in your leagues. Yeah, but guys like that, where if somebody goes down, you know, if LeSean McCoy goes down, Carlos Williams all of a sudden becomes an incredibly valuable fantasy asset, right? Those are the players. And will you start them right now? No, but you should have your starting lineup probably fairly well set. I know everybody's hit by injuries this year. But will you start this player right now? And if the answer to that question, Doug Baldwin, for example. You're going to start Doug Baldwin? I know some of you, these 16-teamers, you're like, oh, hey, I'm starting Doug Baldwin this, you know. Okay, well, not this week, but next week. Okay, but in most normal, you know, 12-team, 10-team leagues, are you starting Doug Baldwin? No. So trim the fat and get these high-upside guys. I mean, and you know, can we really do that on the defensive side of the ball? Well, maybe not necessarily, but there are some opportunities that we want to take advantage of. And so, you know, going to roll through some of these situations here, address a couple players who I know are on people's minds. And if we get enough time, maybe we'll go through some of the tackle numbers, projected tackle numbers, and the matchups. I don't know if we'll have enough time for that. But, of course, you can check those out. Collins will be released today. It's Thursday. It's right after noon on Eastern Standard Time right now. I'll have those columns up by this afternoon before tonight's game, so you will all be set with all those numbers. But let's go to Arizona. And, hey, Kevin Minter, you know, he led the team with 7 total tackles, 5 solo. And he basically, Minter, you know, I'm surprised. I'm pleasantly surprised that he is playing every down. The every down linebackers for the Cardinals, Kevin Minter and Deion Buchanan. You love that. Deion Buchanan being essentially he is a linebacker, and it's awesome that we get to play him as a defensive back for fantasy purposes. But Minter is a guy who right now he's a borderline linebacker 3. You know, he's in that range. So deeper leagues, he's a guy who you do want to rely on, especially in leagues where you're starting 4 linebackers. He's not enormous ceiling, but last week, I mean, leading the team in tackles in a game where there were very few tackle opportunities, that's a plus. You know, you look at it, oh, big deal, 7 total tackles. But yeah, I mean, he did. And this is a team where you do have some very capable tacklers. There was 42 tackle opportunities in this game. So, I mean, you really want, you're looking for over 50, right? Over 60, well, come on, that's awesome. But yeah, 42, that's on the low end of things and not particularly good for fantasy purposes. Some of you who follow me on Twitter, remember, at Jeff Ratcliffe is me on Twitter, but you might have seen my tweet. Larry Fitzgerald, completely random tweet here, but he and useless information, but he had two tackles last week. That's as many as Rashad Johnson. Ugh, not good. There's just too much competition for tackles. When you have Tyrann Mathieu and Deion Buchanan sucking up a lot of tackles, and then whenever Tony Jefferson gets on the field, now he's not an every down guy. I've been over this before. You know, you're not relying on him really for the most part at all. It's just too tough to trust him based on wrong game script, and all of a sudden you're getting nothing out of him. But he's incredibly productive when he's on the field. He's a very good, he was a good player. He fits the role that they want. But his tackle per opportunity at 15.2%. That's really good. He's very, very productive. Rashad Johnson's at 8.1%, which for a safety is on the low end of things. Really tough to trust for fantasy purposes. I've downgraded him. You know, he's a deep league only. You're hoping for interceptions almost because your tackle floor is so low with Rashad Johnson. So something to note there. Moving on to Atlanta, no William Moore last week, so Ricardo Allen started at free safety. He led the team, 6 total tackles, 5 solos, and a sack against Tampa Bay. This was, well, you know, another one of those situations. Tampa Bay, 49 tackle opportunities here from the Tampa Bay offense, but on the season, you know, they're sort of on the lower end of things. I mean, going back to last year, it's really one of the worst matchups, if you include last year's data as well, one of the worst matchups for tackle opportunities. Still one of the worst this year. They're only averaging 45.4 tackle opportunities per game. That's low. Like I said, you want that number up more like 50%. So you're not going to get huge tackle numbers in a game like that. But we looked at William Moore, and I've gotten some questions. Well, what do we do with William Moore? Wait and see, you know. And if you're listening to this on Thursday, Ibrahim Campbell, maybe you want to fire that guy up. I'll talk about him briefly. I don't want to talk too much about the game tonight, but I will talk about him briefly. But William Moore didn't practice on Wednesday. Don't have Thursday information just yet. Keeping a close eye there. If we see him trend to limited, then maybe he'll go. I don't know. It's a nasty groin injury, though, so we'll have to see. Not crazy about his outlook, which is a shame because he's been having a pretty productive season. Moving to Baltimore and our weekly Darryl Smith, CJ Mosley update. Darryl Smith led the Ravens with 14 total tackles, 7 of them as solos. CJ Mosley, 9, 4 solos. I mean, you'll take it, right? But it's still the same trend we've seen so far this season. Smith, the better option for fantasy purposes last week. Better option on the season. And going back to those tackle per opportunity numbers, Darryl Smith, 14.6. CJ Mosley, 11.2. Right? And it's not that Smith's playing very well. I would say that of the two, Mosley's played better. I don't really have a way to explain it other than, and I haven't really watched that closely on the tape, but my expectation would be that the tackles are getting funneled to Smith's for some strange reason. We've seen this in the past in certain situations where tackles just, they're getting funneled to one player. It's just part of it, part of the process here. And I'm stuttering a little bit because I get a little breaking news. Lions fired their GM. So heads continue to roll in Detroit. I'm sure we'll talk about that plenty on the SiriusXM show tomorrow. At 10 to 11 Eastern time. But I'm gonna actually take this opportunity with the Ravens here in the next couple days to really take a close look. I'm gonna go back and watch some of these snaps with Mosley and see what's going on to see if this is really kind of flukish or if it's just the matter that Smith is getting to the ball carrier, you know, better at the point of attack. I don't know. I you know, and I'm still kind of baffled by just, you know, a cursory look at each of these games. Mosley isn't playing bad. He's not playing poorly at all. I haven't had the opportunity, like I said, to really look closely. So hopefully there's some explanation here. You know, and are we that concerned? No, because, you know, he's still going to put up LB3 plus numbers. But you didn't draft him for that. You drafted him for elite level IDP production, and you're not getting that. And, you know, you're getting maybe, you're not getting elite production out of Smith, but you're getting closer to it out of him. So I'll you know, to be continued. I'll revisit this one. And bye week, Buffalo Bills coming off the bye week, so I'm not going to really mention too much about them. I mean, they are pretty much what we thought they were. Corey Graham. Going to Carolina. And Luke Kuechly led the way with 14 total tackles, 9 solo. Roman Harper, the old guy, topped 12, double digits with 12 total tackles, 7 solo. Now, Kirk Coleman, okay, he played pretty well in this game. And, you know, long-suffering Philadelphia Eagles fans know the name Kirk Coleman well. But Kirk Coleman, okay, here's the skinny on Kirk Coleman. He's a fit in this system. You know, and this is a coaching staff. He has ties to Sean McDermott. He was formerly with the Eagles back when Coleman was with the Eagles. Coleman is the equivalent of just a guy. You know the Jag moniker. He's just a guy on the defensive side of the ball. He played a decent game, but if we look to his season-long production, he's at tackle per opportunity of 9.5%. That's over a full percent behind Roman Harper. And this was probably his best game of the season. I don't have Kurt Coleman as a streamer at this point because the consistency is not going to be there and the opportunity is absolutely not going to be there. Kurt Coleman is playing behind Luke Kuechly and Thomas Davis. Okay, good luck with that. You're not going to do much cleanup duty there with the way that these guys pursue. And he also has Roman Harper there. It's just not going to be an opportunity. So pass on Kurt Coleman. Don't pass on Jared Allen. This guy, oh, I love it. He's in an opportunity. You know, that's exactly what we wanted to see. It was like he goes to Chicago and, oh, come on. And not only that, but then they moved to a 3-4. And he's still got some gas left in the tank, and he's really starting to show it. He had a sack on six pressures in this game. And this is the more important stat. I have this in my ESPN Insider column for this week. He's played 83.6% of the Panthers' defensive snaps over the last 2 weeks. He's basically an every down guy. Okay, once we get when we get these defensive end up over 70%, then you know it becomes a matter of volume. You know, and especially he's playing well. You know, he stands out on the field. You know, and that's never good when you have a defensive end out there and you just basically, oh, I forgot he was in the game. You're not saying that with Jared Allen. He's looked really good. So he's now in the DL2 conversation. If he's not owned in any of your leagues, go out, grab him. Moving to the Bears, Antrel rolls back. That's good. Four total tackles in this game against the Vikings. It was another one of those low tackle opportunity games of 43 tackle opportunities in this game. What are you going to do? But Antrel rolls back and he's at least a DB2, kind of a, I guess, DB2 plus. Pernell McPhee's really good. Really good. Do yourself a favor. And I know there's not much to watch. It's a shame to say this. And I'm sorry, Bears fans, because I do like some of the things that are happening on the offensive side of the ball for the Bears. Alshon Jeffrey, hey, he's a stud. He's a stud. And I'm interested to see what happens with Jeremy Langford getting a shot here. This is a kid who had a lot of touchdowns in college and he has some decent speed. Not the best pass catcher, but, you know, I guess you could say, well, he's not even poor man's Matt Forte in pass catching, but poor man Matt Forte as a running back, I could see it, and it sounds promising with the amount of touches. DFS alert, right? He's cheap. Play some Jeremy Langford this week. But on the defensive side of the ball, there's really not much to watch, unfortunately. Pernell McPhee, quarterback pressure on 24.3% of his pass rush snaps so far this season. That is elite. That is really, really good. So do yourself a favor, watch some Pernell McPhee. He's playing at an extremely high level right now for this Bears defense. And one of the few bright spots, so for IDP purposes, he has DL eligibility on some sites. I've said this before, definitely firing him up on those sites. And in big play leagues where he's only linebacker eligible. Moving to the Bengals, a player who a lot of people are looking at here is Vontaze Burfict. He was back last week. Played only in the base defense, but, you know, it was interesting. They start the game out, first two snaps of the game. Here's their base defense. Vontaze Burfict and A.J. Hawk at outside linebacker. Ray Maaluga at inside linebacker. One name missing there. Vinny Ray was not part of the base defense. Now, I don't expect A.J. Hawk to have any more role than the base defense. And what I was expecting to see here, which was pretty interesting, this is what they did. They go to a sub package, and Vincent Ray and Emmanuel Lamour play in the sub package. Now, going forward, what would I expect? Vontaze Burfict and Vinny Ray in the sub packages. But see, the thing is, if Vinny Ray is not in the base defense, Vinny Ray is off the fantasy radar. However, that being said, but wait. There's more. Ray Maaluga, banged up. Got dinged up with a calf injury. And I know that this is a game that's playing tonight, too. So if you're listening to this on Friday, well, excuse this here. But he got in a limited session. So I'm really curious to see this tonight, and I'll reflect back on this. I'll probably talk about this on Twitter tonight. What do we see? Do we see that? Do we see a Hawk Malaluga perfect base and then a Vinny Ray perfect nickel package? I think that's what we see. That's my inclination here. So sorry, Vinny Ray owners. It's not turning in the right direction. I don't know if we see that immediately tonight too, because keep in mind they're still trying to ease perfect back in. So go out and pick up perfect immediately, but don't start him this week. It's more wait and see. But you know, you could have yourself a good quality. I'm still saying LB2 plus. I'm not saying LB1 with him for the rest of the season. Geno Atkins, awesome. 2 sacks on 5 quarterback pressures. By the way, just with the Browns really quickly, like, I'm not going to talk too much about this as well, but Ibrahim Campbell, he played 36 snaps last week, the rookie, one of our favorite rookies, and kind of, you know, it was Landon Collins and then kind of everybody else this year, but Ibrahim Campbell was part of that everybody else, and there was only like three of them, but he was part of that, so it's nice to see that he got on the field, had 5 tackles in those 36 snaps, so we'll get a full look at him tonight with Dante Whitner out with a concussion. Sean Lee, longtime listeners of this show know I have an unhealthy obsession with Sean Lee, which is weird for an Eagles fan. But I'm equal opportunity. I like all NFL players. Doesn't matter what team you play for. That's the beauty of the NFL. And I guess, you know, you can be an irrational fan. I know, unfortunately, some people are like that, but the beauty of the NFL is there's something to like about every single team. You know, it doesn't matter who it is. There are players, there are situations. That's what makes it the best team or best league in all of professional sports. And so, Sean Lee, absolutely one of my favorites. Just love the way he plays the game. He's so smart. He's so crafty, and he led the team with 11 total tackles last week. 5 solo, you don't like that ratio, but 2 tackles for a loss. So chipping those in, and hopefully you're in a format. I know there are some commissioner sites where you can actually score tackles for a loss, which that kind of sucks, but what are you going to do? But if you score them, and you should be, then, you know, you made out with a pretty good day out of Sean Lee there. Barry Church also got up over double digits with 10 total, 6 solo. So he's still in that back end DB1 conversation. No sacks for Greg Hardy, but he did have 5 quarterback pressures. So it's coming, okay? Don't get, you know, it's a roller coaster ride, and Hardy still looks every bit the part of the player that we thought he was going to be. So for fantasy purpose, you stick with him. DeMarcus Lawrence had 7 total tackles in this game. But keep in mind that while that sort of stands out for fantasy purposes, he only played 35 of 63 snaps. He's still a situational guy. Dynasty leagues, yeah. Deep dynasty leagues, sure, you keep him rostered. Other than that, don't go running out and picking this guy up. We want players who are going to play much more frequently than just about 50% of the snaps. Also, speaking of playing more frequently, Byron Jones, the world record holder in the standing broad jump. Well, he's now starting. He surpassed J.J. Wilcox, and we actually had Todd Archer of the Dallas Cowboys beat. He was on our Sirius show, and I asked him about Byron Jones. And, you know, his answer, I think, was pretty telling. He said the Cowboys view him as just, he's an athlete and who is so versatile. He can do anything they need him to do. He said that, you know, even early on, this kid's out there giving Jason Witten a hard time in coverage. I mean, ooh, yeah, right? Like, all right, that's what I want to hear. And the best part about Byron Jones is he's a tweener. Like, so he can play safety, which is where he's lining up in the base defense, and then he goes and kicks to the slot to cover the corner. I mean, play slot corner. Oh, come on. That's fantasy value. Antrell Roll with the Giants. That's what he did. Tyrann Mathieu. That's what he does. Malcolm Jenkins, we've seen a resurgent season. Why? Because that's what he's doing. Byron Jones. Pretty interesting. All right. So, you know, hey, again, stream for ceiling, stream for upside. Byron Jones fits that. So I like him in especially deeper leagues, especially cornerback required leagues where, you know, you can get away with starting him at a cornerback spot. Byron Jones. All right, moving to Denver. Derek Wolfe led the team with 7 total tackles, 3 solos. Please don't run out and pick up Derek Wolfe. He is the same player he's been all along. He played 29 out of 54 snaps. The tackles came to him in this game. That was Derek Wolfe's best game of the season. This isn't all of a sudden going to be a resurgent Derek Wolfe dominant IDP, Derek Wolfe the next J.J. Watt. No. Okay, don't get too carried away with stuff like this. You have to be a super, super, super deep league to be considering Derek Wolfe. Brandon Marshall, 6 total, 6 solo. Here's the thing. He's the preferred fantasy option over Danny Trevathan, but he didn't play every single snap. You know, if you actually looked what they were doing, it was interesting. Like, so they're still using David Bruton in the sort of hybrid nickel linebacker role because he's a safety, but they're bringing him in as a nickel linebacker. And you saw Trevathan out there in some of these, you know, look like you've got a few dime snaps, a few nickel snaps. If you look to the overall snap total, Brandon Marshall has the higher total. But we talked about this before, and I've said, you know, if given my preference in a vacuum where if both players are equal, who is my preference for? Well, it's for Trevathan. He's more dynamic. Marshall's a great, he's a tackle machine, right? But then again, so is Trevathan. So it's really interesting, and you look to definitely something that we need to keep an eye on going forward for sure. Trevathan, I'm not picking him up right now, but potentially a really sneaky guy here down the stretch. Ziggy Ansah, a sack on 6 quarterback pressures. He's playing really well for fantasy purposes, right in there every week, DL1. The Lions moved to a 3-man rotation at linebacker with both Josh Bynes and Steven Tulloch coming off the field at various points for Tahir Whitehead. I had recommended Bynes as the guy to own here. Boy, I don't know about that anymore. Tulloch led the team with 7 total tackles, 7 solos, but it's really hard to trust him for fantasy purposes going forward. It's hard to trust any of the Lions linebackers, so you're going to want to probably fade those guys. You know what's interesting is my matchups column, which hopefully you give that a read every week. I give you a little chart that basically shows you all of the plus and minus matchups and with various gradings, essentially, plus, 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 all that, matchups by position for, each of the IDP positions. Well, last week, the matchups chart predicted that Casey Hayward and Demaryius Randall would do well against Denver, and looky, they did. They both put up 7 total tackles, 6 solos there, so good streamer options in cornerback-required leagues, especially Demaryius Randall. Again, don't think this is a sign of things to come. This was matchup-based, but use that matchup chart to your advantage. It's been actually pretty interesting. 2 weeks ago, it said the same thing about DJ Hayden, and he put up double-digit tackles, so use it to your advantage. Clay Matthews still doing well here as a tackler. Good enough. 7 total, 5 solo. No sacks, but the sacks will come. Speaking of sacks, J.J. Watt, 2.5 of them on 13 quarterback pressures. This was really an incredible game. It was one of his highest graded games here as a pro. J.J. Watt was just insanely good in this contest. And we saw a little bit of a lull there, and the advice was be patient. It'll come, and that's just what we're seeing with J.J. Watt. He's just so good right now. His tackle for opportunity rate is hovering right around 10%. It's about 9.8%, and his quarterback pressure rate is just under 18%. Both of those are rock solid numbers. So J.J. Watt's going to continue to be a stud going forward here. Brian Cushing, well, remaining very productive as a tackler, had 13 total tackles in this game, 6 solo, so keep rolling with Brian Cushing. Whitney Mercilus absolutely exploded in this game, had 3.5 sacks on 7 quarterback pressures, so 50% conversion rate, that's not sustainable, but good work, right? He only got on the field, though, after Jadeveon Clowney left the game, so not getting too nuts about Mercilus. Gonna have to monitor. Can Clowney just stay healthy? But we're going to have to monitor Clowney going through the bye week here. Hopefully he's all right. I don't have much indication. Frustrating for Jadeveon Clowney owners just wanting to see this guy get through a couple full games in a row. But either way, you know, just keep that in mind for Whitney Mercilus, because, of course, his points are going to stand out. It's going to look like he's an incredible waiver ad, but I don't know if I would necessarily say that. Moving to Indy, Jarrell Freeman back in an every-down role, had 12 total tackles in this game, 5 solo. So he's back in the LB3 conversation. We know he's very productive when healthy and in that every-down role, and so we'll certainly put him, slot him back there. Don't get too nuts about this. DeQuell Jackson had a DeQuell Jackson-like game, 13 total tackles, but only 3 of them recorded as solos. But Jackson's still in the LB1 conversation. Moving to Kansas City, I'm going to skip over Jacksonville coming off a bye, not much to say there. But Derek Johnson led the Chiefs with 5 total tackles, right? 5 total tackles, whoopity-doo. But again, this was another one of those matchups, only 43 tackle opportunities from the Lions offense, go figure. And so that's really largely the product here. Ron Parker had 2 sacks in this game. So if you started him at defensive back, good for you. But don't expect that one very frequently. He's only rushed the quarterback 12 times this season. So those sacks are going to be few and far between. Moving to Miami, Cameron Wake. This is terrible. We wait all season, right? And I'm not saying it's terrible for our purposes, but we wait all season. We see him finally start to perform. He had 7 sacks over the last 3 games. And, of course, everybody saw on Thursday night of last week that Wake went out with that Achilles injury. Just a terrible, terrible injury. This is bad for the Dolphins. This is bad for Wake. I mean, he's not a spring chicken. And you hate to see any player go through this, and especially a player who is an elite pass rusher who was really starting to hit his stride this season. So a rough one there. Derek Shelby's going to replace him. Shelby certainly a step down, but Shelby is on the fantasy radar for sure. I would say, you know, this week I had a little hard time ranking him initially. I didn't know exactly where to slot him in. So I have him in the right around the 30 to 35 range for this week. I might be a little low on him. I honestly might be a little low on him, but I think that's a fair expectation. So a DL3 expectation initially, but would it shock me at all if he's posting top 25 DL numbers? No, absolutely not. The way this defense has been playing is much improved. Now, keep in mind a mobile quarterback this week in Tyrod Taylor, but definitely a player in deeper leagues to add as a priority in an already sparse defensive line position. Kelvin Shepard tied for the team high with 8 total tackles, 5 solo, but he only played in the base defense, so don't get nuts there. It's still going to be Jelani Jenkins and Cole Meese, and I like both of those guys this week against Buffalo in Buffalo. And I may not get time to get through any of those projected tackle numbers, but I will tell you this one because I know this is, you know, you're always interested. We're always interested in how these numbers will shake out. So looking at the projected opportunities and projected tackles for the Buffalo and Miami game, what I have in my model is total tackle 67.5 for the Dolphins, 65.5 for the Bills. So it puts it at roughly 133, roughly pretty close to that. For the total tackles awarded in this game. We'd also have about that number for the Jets and the Jags, by the way. But this looks like a pretty tackle-friendly week, only a few that are on the low end of things. Probably the lowest. The lowest here would be the Pittsburgh-Oakland game, so think about that for your Steelers and Raiders IDPs. But just a quick note there, just because it's such an intriguing matchup for tackle purposes. Buffalo doesn't have a particularly good matchup for linebacker purposes. The Dolphins are the 31st matchup for opposing linebackers. So that's not good at all. On the other side, though, the Bills are the number 3 linebacker matchup. Okay, that's good. Tackle crew plus linebacker matchup equals fantasy value. And so Jelani Jenkins, this could be his best game of the year. Would not shock me in the least if that actually plays out. Also, Hey, Koumissi, LB3, love it. All right, moving to Minnesota. Not much to say here. Eric Kendricks is good. I like Eric Kendricks. Had 7 total tackles, 6 solos. That's all I'm going to say about the Minnesota Vikings. Moving to New England. Chandler Jones had 2 sacks on 5 quarterback pressures. This guy has 5.5 sacks over the last 3 games. That's elite, and that's what we know we can get out of Chandler Jones. It was nice to see Rob Ninkovich get on the board with a sack. So he had a sack on 5 quarterback pressures. Ninkovich really struggled. This was a guy who we've seen LB1 numbers out of in the past, just hasn't been the case this year. And I've gone over this on the show. His tackle per opportunity rate is just, it's low. It's lower than we've ever seen out of him. That doesn't bode positively. He's not generating consistent pressure on the quarterback as well. So that doesn't bode well. But hey, he got in there, and this was a good game for him against the Dolphins. So trending in the right direction. Dante Hightower had the better fantasy performance than Jamie Collins. 3 total tackles and a sack. That was the better. Like I said, Miami's not a good matchup for linebackers. So 3 total tackles and a sack. That was and you had Jamie Collins with ugh. So what do we do here? And Hightower, he's a borderline LB1 at times. I mean, I think it's more comfortable putting him in the LB2 range. But for what it's worth, as much as, you know, Jamie Collins owners are kind of suffering right now, Jamie Collins is the every down player. And that means more to me, right? Now, tackle per opportunity, Hightower 15.5, Collins 13.4. Collins is right in the mid-range, Hightower's on the higher end of things. So it's really close. It really is. But, you know, in situations where it's close like this, I do tend to give the preference to the every down player, and that's Jamie Collins, not Dante Hightower. And also keep in mind, after this game was a blowout, John Bostic was brought in, so we got to see a little John Bostic out there in an every down role. Moving to New Orleans, and don't get crazy about John Bostic, please. Dynasty, you're still holding on to him because he couldn't have landed on a better team, but that's about it. Stephon Anthony for the Saints, he's starting to get things going. Led the team with 11 total tackles, 6 solo, but keep in mind, no Danelle Ellerbe in this game, so that certainly helps the cause. Cameron Jordan, disappointing, 1 solo tackle. Ugh. But he had 7 quarterback pressures, all right? So don't get too upset here. The pressures are there. So the production's going to come for him. It's a mid-pack matchup this week for the Saints against the Titans. But I do like Marcus Mariota's taken some sacks this year. So it's still a positive matchup. I'm not fading Cam Jordan, and I'm not upset about that at all, that performance last week. Jason Pierre-Paul could be back as early as this week. And the reports sound like he might be in the mix. You know, looking to, I'm just pulling up these practice reports. And, by the way, Owa Digizua landed on short-term IR, which is like it's a weird thing to do because he's eligible to return in week 17. So it's like just reached the cutoff point. But either way, I mean, hey, the conditioning sounds good on Jason Pierre-Paul, which is very positive. And yet, you know, this is just more, consider this a scouting game. So you add Jason Pierre-Paul if he's available, but this, you don't start him. This is a game where we scout him. We see, okay, is he being used only in a situational role? Are they trusting him in run situations as well? Or is it just as a pass rusher? What are they doing with him and how does he look? And then we'll reevaluate next week. Prince Amukamara could also be back in this one. Questionable with that pec injury, but did get limited work in on Wednesday, so we'll see how he progresses through the week. John Beeson, he's questionable right now. He was out last week with an ankle, didn't practice on Wednesday. Just as he finally basically almost got the every down roll back, he got hurt. Devon Kennard led the team in snaps last week, but nobody to really trust there. Moving to the Jets, I mean, you're obviously going to trust Mo Wilkerson. No sacks, but 6 quarterback pressures. Also had 6 total tackles, 6 solo last week. So very happy with that. David Harris led the team with 9 total tackles, 6 solo. At this point, and you know, coming into the season, I really liked the way that DeMario Davis was trending last year. Seemed to be moving in the right direction for IDP purposes. And, you know, it's not happening this year. You know, we look to the production out of these two. DeMario Davis, tackle per opportunity, 11.3%. David Harris, 15.1%. Okay, so that's significant. And that means that, you know, we can trust David Harris for that borderline LB2 production. DeMario Davis is a really only matchup play, base play at this point. No Calvin Pryor last week as well. Something to keep an eye on for this week. Didn't practice on Wednesday with that ankle injury. So we could see Marcus Williams out there again opposite Marcus Gilchrist. That didn't work very well last week for the Jets. This could be an ugly one just across the board this week for the Jets. Quarterback situation, dicey. I mean, Fitzy's trying to do everything he can to get back on the field. Love how he's been playing this year as well. You know, he got a full practice, so he's listed as probable. It just, you know, you don't like when you hear surgery, so you keep a close eye on this one. Because the major concern is, can he hand the ball off, right? So probable, okay, I like that. Hopefully he's not going to be downgraded. And that just, you know, that's so much better for this offense than obviously either options. Bryce Petty not ready to play at the NFL level just yet. And apparently neither is Geno Smith. Well, sometimes he has brief flashes, and then sometimes he makes plays where you know, what are you thinking? But anyway, enough offense. So yeah, keep an eye on the injury situations there, especially for Calvin Pryor. Khalil Mack, a sack. No, I'm not rhyming, but he had on 6 quarterback pressures, so that's good. Nico Thorpe led the team with 7 total tackles. All right, well, we're not running out and picking up Nico Thorpe, but this is more telling for the reason that he's playing for Curtis Lofton in the sub packages. Curtis Lofton only in the base defense. Curtis Lofton, I told you weeks ago, drop him. If you haven't already, please do. It's likely you have. But don't run out and pick up Nico Thorpe in redraft. And dynasty, deep dynasty, yeah, worth a stash. I don't know, you know, if he's ever going to profile to an every down player, but the fact that they do trust him in sub package situations is pretty telling. So yeah, intriguing, you know, intriguing young player. Moving to Philly real quick, only briefly, because they're coming off a bye. Kiko Alonso sounds like he's going to be ready to roll here. You know, looking to the practice reports, and he's listed as probable full practice. What's the expectation? And this is the great question here. And by the way, D'Amico Ryan's banged up still with a hamstring. He did not practice. I swear I can talk. Did not practice on Wednesday. So here's the expectation. Michael Kendricks plays every down. Kiko Alonso plays in the sub packages. Jordan Hicks plays in the base defense. That means that Kiko Alonso and Jordan Hicks are not fantasy relevant this week. I ranked Hicks because I do figure this to at least be a game where he might be able to put up LB4 numbers because the game script might dictate more base defense from the Eagles. But that's about as far as I'll go. Kendricks is the only one I really want anywhere near my fantasy lineups, though. So I recommend the same for you. Hopefully Kendricks, beyond these injuries that sort of plagued him through the beginning of the season. But just a quick note there, don't pick up Kiko Alonso, at least at this point. Doesn't seem like it's going to be worth it. Another strong game for Antoine Blake. I continue to be wrong, or at least my early season. I did say I apologize for that because, hey, he's one of those corners this year that has emerged as a fantasy option. 8 total tackles, all of them solo. Playing pretty well for a younger corner, but continue to ride the Blake train. Ryan Shazier, 8 total tackles, 6 solo to go along with a half sack, 2 tackles for a loss. It looked like he really shook the rust off in this game against the Bengals. So trending in the right direction and possibly now kind of cementing himself as the better option over Lawrence Timmons in IDP leagues. Moving to San Diego, Melvin Ingram, he's having a great season and good to see one of these younger players really kind of panning out. He had a sack and a half on 6 quarterback pressures. So solid production there from Melvin Ingram. Not really a player I'd be looking at outside of big play leagues. But again, you know, he's basically playing every down. So that bodes well. And like I said, he's playing fairly well here. Right now, a quarterback pressure rate of 13.1%. It's a little low. I'd like to see that a little bit higher. But his sack conversion rate of just 15% would suggest that he's going to he's due for a little bit of upward regression. No Manti Te'o in this one or Eric Weddle in this one. Not getting any San Diego practice reports as of this time, so we'll have to look deeper there. But either way, no Manti Te'o, so Donald Butler played every down, managed 3 total tackles and a half sack. Not much from Donald Butler, so that's pretty much what we expected. KJ Wright led the Seahawks with 9 total tackles, 6 solo, but don't be worried if you're a Bobby Wagner owner. He had 5 total tackles, 4 solo, but Bobby Wagner is going to be just fine. I think this is more a product of KJ Wright has really just developed into a solid pro. You know, very, very impressed with his play. He's just stepped up when they need him to, done things they want him to do, and of course they really like him as a player. And he's recording, they're both rated about 15%. Just Wagner is the preferred option. Let's put it this way. Wright is definitely in the LB3 conversation because he has, obviously here, he has LB2 plus upside. It's just a matter of sometimes the tackles don't get funneled his way. Moving to San Francisco, Jaquiski Tartt started and played every single snap for this team, posted 6 total tackles, 5 solo. He's now in must-own. He's DB2, must-own in most deeper IDP leagues. Navarro Bowman led the team with 13 total tackles, 7 solos. And guess who came crashing back to earth? Michael Wilhoit had 6 total tackles, 4 solo. Can't say I didn't tell you this one was coming, but we knew it was going to happen. It was a poor matchup, and he's not really been playing that well. He's been getting a lot of tackles, yes. But has he been playing well on the field? No. And this was yet another game where he struggled as a run defender. And we did see Gerald Hodges get on the field. And Gerald Hodges played 10 snaps in the game. So not a huge amount of play from Gerald Hodges. But he came on the field for Wilhoit first. So big concerns for Michael Wilhoit. I hope you traded him last week. Jumped off that sinking ship. Mark Barron is not a sinking ship. He's a shooting star. He remained at weak side linebacker and led the team with 10 total tackles last week, 7 solo. Played really well. He's an elite-level fantasy defensive back. There should be absolutely no reason why he's not owned in every single IDP league. Even those that may start just one IDP, you could make a case for owning him in those leagues just because of the volume of tackles he's recording. Quan Alexander led the Bucs with 11 total tackles and 6 solos. Now, I still think he's where we thought he was going to be, LB3, LB4 range. Obviously, he has some upside, but the key takeaway here for fantasy purposes is that he's really impacting Lavonte David. And that's not fun because, again, here people went out and they drafted Lavonte David really early, and you're not getting the production out of him that you had hoped to get. But this is another one of those reasons, and I say it so frequently, but don't draft linebackers early. You know, it just doesn't, the value just isn't there. Now, if we look at them from a per opportunity basis, Lavonte David's at 13.5%, Quan Alexander's at 11.9%. So David's still the more productive player. It's just, is he an elite level LB1 anymore? No, I still have him as an LB1. I'm still kind of reluctant to bring him down. But the production would suggest that he's more just a, you know, mid-pack LB1, if not maybe even back-end. I might have to move him down a little further in my ranking update tomorrow. We'll have to take a look. Michael Griffin was back last week and led the team with 9 total tackles, 6 solo. Wesley Woodyard, though, was just behind him with 8 total tackles and 7 solo. All right, so here's the thing about Wesley Woodyard. He's only playing in the base defense. Now, he's very productive. Excluding week 6, so over the last 4 weeks, excluding week 6, because Avery Williamson was out in week 6, Wesley Woodyard has a tackle per opportunity rate of 33.3%. Okay, that is, I mean, it's awesome, but it's so unsustainable, it's not even funny. Even at the highest level, we would expect to see 20%. So it's not going to continue. I've seen a lot of people picking this guy up without realizing. Last week, he played 26 of 66 snaps. That's not enough volume to sustain production. So don't worry about this guy for fantasy purposes unless we get wind that he's going to play every down. But every time that they've trusted him in nickel situations, he's really struggled in coverage. So I don't see that one happening. And it's just a player who we don't want to trust for fantasy purposes. All right. I'm not going to say anything about Washington because they're coming off bye. So that's going to do it. I got a little of the tackle projections and the matchups in here. Make sure you go check out the rest of that on the site. Make sure you're checking out the site and you're listening to the podcast. Make sure you're heading on over to DraftKings as well. This week, you can get in on the action. There's so much to go to so much to win at DraftKings. Use that promo code PFF and get yourself a free entry over at DraftKings.com today. So that's going to do it for us this week for Pro Football Focus. I'm Jeff. And that is a wrap. PFF Radio is powered by Pro Football Focus. Follow PFF Radio on Twitter, at PFF Radio. Also follow us on Twitter, at PFF_fantasy. Join the conversation and like us on Facebook, and plus one us on Google+.